all things are ready. Some will not enter in. Hi, this is Stefan Yah on YahvaYahweh.name, and the title of today's message is All Things Are Ready, But Some Make Light of It. In Matthew 22, we're going to be reading about the robe of righteousness in here in Messiah, and also about that wedding invitation to Yahweh's great feast and to all of his feasts. Think of it this way. If you were invited to a feast that you knew a very, very, very important person were there, would you turn that invitation down and say, I'm not under that system? Well, let's listen. Matthew 22, let the scripture do the talking. And Messiah answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. That's similar to today, that many are called to the wedding, or to Yahweh's feast days, but they just rebel. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are hidden, behold. Tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servant, and entreated them spitefully, and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies, and destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then he saith to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go you therefore into the highways, and as many as you shall find, bid to the marriage. So these servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. When the king came in to see the guests, now this is the issue here about not having the proper spiritual and physical attire. When the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. We'll look at Isaiah 61, verse 10, regarding that. I will greatly rejoice in Yahweh. My soul shall be joyful in my Elohim. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. That was Isaiah, or Yeshayahu 61, verse 10. And also there is another verse, or two, in Leviticus, and in Numbers, about wearing the proper attire. A man is not to wear the garment pertaining to a woman, and he is to have the four corners of his garments with the tzitzit attached. And so let's get back now to Matthew. Matthew 22:11. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servant, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. The Greek word is phugo, incidentally, by coincidence, but few are chosen. And we'll also see Revelation 17, verse 14, regarding this incident here. Revelation 17:14, These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. He is the Master of Masters, and the King of Kings, and they that are with him are called, and chosen, and faithful. Revelation 17:14, They are called, chosen, and faithful. Then in Yochanan chapter 10, verse 7, and this is John 10:7, Then Yahusha Messiah said unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but to steal and to murder and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And chapter 15 of Yochanan, 15:22. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. They had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. Yes, we need to have that. The garments of salvation, covered with a robe of righteousness by Messiah, as a bridegroom decketh herself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels, as we read that there in Isaiah 61. So, Yahushua, Messiah, is the door. He is the shepherd of the sheep. He's the door of the sheep. And then in Zephaniah chapter 1, we're going to be going to that one next. Here in the scripture study, that many are called, few are chosen. Many are invited to the feast, and they make light of it. They argue about, well, we're not under that dispensation anymore. We're not under that old Mosaic covenant, those Jewish laws, those legalistic laws. I am not going, they insist. But let us wait a minute. Let's not be too hasty. Let us be cautious and consider what the scriptures have to say about Yahweh's feasts, feasting with him. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 6. And them that are turned back from Yahweh, and those that have not sought Yahweh, nor inquired of him, hold thy peace at the presence of Yahweh Elohim, for the day of Yahweh is at hand. For Yahweh has prepared a sacrifice. He has bid his guests. Isaiah, or Yeshayahu, chapter 30, verse 1. Woe to thee, and that goes along with this, woe to thee, rebellious children, saith Yahweh, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. That was Isaiah 30, verse 1. And speaking of these feasts, these wonderful blessings are found in Leviticus chapter 23. And that was a misnomer. It should be Vayikra 23 instead of Leviticus, because this is to the whole house of Israel. And Yahweh spake unto Moshe, or Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them concerning the feasts of Yahweh, which you shall proclaim to be pure convocations, even these are my feasts. Now, would you hear today HaSatan promoting the feast days because it is being under the law, that it's bondage, that it's sin to keep the feast? Wouldn't Satan promote that? And wouldn't he be reading these words? If they were sin, of course, but they're not sin. Satan doesn't go around telling people to keep the feast, keep the statutes, commandments, judgments, and precepts, the testimonies of Yahweh. On the contrary, he is against them. He still is. In the older and the newer scriptures, HaSatan is against Yahweh's law. So we find there in the next verse, in verse 3, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, a pure convocation. You shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of Yahweh in all your dwellings. And in the King James, where it says L-O-R-D, that was a mistranslation. It was way, way off. In fact, if you looked at the origin of that word Lord, it doesn't belong there at all. But if you look at the Hebrew, at the Hebrew, or if you check the concordance, you'll find that it's spelled YHVH, which is pronounced Yahweh. Then so we talked about the Sabbath day. And in verse 4, these are the feasts of Yahweh, even pure convocations, which you shall proclaim in their seasons. In the 14th day of the first month at even is Yahweh's Passover. So there are some of the instructions in Leviticus 23 as well as Exodus 12 and 13 and in numerous other places in Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, Paul says, "Let us therefore keep this feast, not with the old leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." He says, way after the, about 30 years after the death, resurrection of Messiah, and into the new covenant, that we are still to keep the feast of unleavened bread at this time. No, we're not in some sort of a mysterious dispensation. So much for my comments there. Deuteronomy 16, now. Debarim 16, verse 1. "Observe the month of Aviv, and keep the Passover unto Yahweh thy Elohim. For in the month of Aviv, Yahweh thy Elohim brought thee forth out of Mitzrayim," or out of Egypt, "by night." And then verse 13, "Thou shalt observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days. After that thou hast gathered in thy corn and thy wine." And we will go up to keep the feasts, regardless of how many rich radio preachers, how well they are established, and how smooth and polished, and how many supporters they might have. We will still go up to keep the feast days, and we've been doing this now for 30 or some years. Actually, it's been going on for thousands of years, for 6,000 years approximately. These feasts have and are being kept and will be kept in the future, as we shall see now. Here's an eschatological passage, in other words, a prophetic chapter in Zechariah 14:17. Zechariah 14. "And it shall be that whosoever will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, Yahweh of hosts, that even upon them shall be no rain." And then a parallel passage to that in Isaiah 66, Yeshayahu 66:22. "For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, saith Yahweh, so shall your seed and your name remain." So, as the new heavens and the new earth will, which I will make, so shall your seed and your name remain. "And from one Sabbath, and it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith Yahweh." It says in Hebrews 4 that they refused to enter into his rest. Hebrews 3 and chapter 4 of Hebrews. That it is still called the seventh day, and he didn't specify any other day in Hebrews in the New Testament. Colossians 2. Colossians 2:14 now in the Newer Testament. We're 13 minutes now into this service. And service unto Yahweh, talking about our loving returning our love to him, and coming to these dress rehearsals. We're not being under the law, as some of the teachers out there are saying falsely on the radio, but we're under the scriptures of Yahweh. We're under the sovereignty of Yahweh's government, of his economy, of his scriptures. Are you ready? Colossians chapter 2:14, "Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances," or the certificate of indebtedness that was against us, blotting out those temple offerings of sin and death. In other words, certificate of indebtedness that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And by the way, we see the added law, mentioned in the book of Galatians and Jeremiah 7. The added law were those burnt offerings and sacrifices that he did not command at the first. So, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Therefore, let no man judge you in the eating, or in drinking, or in respect of a feast day, or the new moon, or the Sabbath days, but the body of Messiah is to judge. And then the parenthetical scripture that was in here in the middle of it says, let no man judge you in eating or drinking or respect of a feast day, a new moon, Sabbath days, which are, and not which were, but as it says in the NIV, I believe, but which are a shadow of things to come. But the body is, no, the body is of Messiah. No, but the body of Messiah. Take out that added verb, is. That was added in it. The sentence structure wouldn't make any sense at all, but they tried to change that. But the reality, they tried to change the word, the noun body, into the reality as Messiah. But anyway, that's not in the underlying Greek text either. But the body is Messiah. The body, excuse me. You know, now I'm saying it. I'm parroting the error there. But it's supposed to read, but the body of Messiah. And the sentence started out, let no man judge you in meat or drink and respect the feast days. And then Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, as we have our Hebrew apparel on, the scriptural commanded apparel, we have our attitude correct, our hearts correct in Yahweh, and we are trusting in Him only for salvation. And we are turning from sin unto righteousness and honoring Him in His judgment. We're being delivered from our past life. We're going to Revelation 7 next. And we're thinking about those rewards of heaven today. And also the converse of that, the danger of hell burning fire, Luke chapter 13. We want to be filled with the Ruach HaKadosh. We want to be delivered from the breaking of the law, Proverbs 28:26. Ezekiel 3:19 and other scriptures, Zechariah 2. We want to have belief in Messiah and His blood, in the Messiah and His shed blood for our sins at the Golgotha and the tree at Calvary. By His stripes we are healed. We want to observe His laws and His covenant. We want Him to write them in our heart and mind where we will not forget them. Not where they are abrogated. And we realize that we were sinners. We are depraved men and women. So we want to repent and enter into his new economy, into a new relationship with Yahweh, walking by the Spirit, not only by the Word, not walking by the traditions of the Jews or some church leader of any kind or speaker. In Ezekiel 36:26, He's going to write His laws into our hearts and minds, and we will walk in His commandments and His judgments by the Spirit. Also see Hebrews 8, verse 10. That's chapter 8 of Hebrews. And we want to enjoy life in His kingdom. So let's move on then in the Revelation. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our Elohim, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the messengers stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and praised Elohim, saying, Hallel. Now it says Amen in the original, from the original Greek, as far as we know. So I think I'm going to go with that today, saying Amen, blessing and esteem and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto Elohim forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto them, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Great song, too. Then in chapter 17, let's go forward 10 chapters now in the scriptures. As we are being delivered from our sinful nature, from our old character, and taking on that new character of Messiah, taking on Yahweh's character and giving all praise and honor and all obedience unto Yahweh the Father, All praise goes to him. We're being delivered from that old nature. And we have a change in behavior. The fruits of righteousness now. The fruits of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is being manifested now in each and every one of us who are Spirit creatures now, being born again. 17, verse 14. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Master of masters and King of kings, and they are that are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. And then turning two more chapters to chapter 19 here, 19, verse 7, which says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he said unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of Elohim." Finishing up there in chapter 19. So remember that we are being invited and bidden to the feasts. This upcoming feast here of Shavuot, which is also a cleansing of our garments, symbolically, and preparing to be in that first great wave, that first calling away, when the called before the thousand-year millennium are elected and chosen and are invited to join Yahweh in his throne room, and to worship around there, to worship him in our throne room, and to forget about all those cares and our past failures and attempts to, in different ways, of man-made ways to please Yahweh, but freely and in great honor and spirit, great character, great freedom, worshiping the King of Kings. And accepting his invitation, we'll show up there. We'll be there on time, won't we? I'd like to go to that Zechariah passage again, by the way, as we make our garments ready for him. Zechariah, chapter 14. That's the last chapter. Zechariah 14:16. "And it shall come to pass that every one that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to praise the King, Yahweh of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles." It's also called Sukkot, that's in Hebrew. The Feast of Tabernacles, in the original it would be Sukkot. "And it shall be that whosoever will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem," in other words, those who, in our lesson there, they made light of it and said, "We will not go up, we will not enter into his rest." Those who will not come up to worship the King, Yahweh of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And of course, that's a spiritual thing there, allegorical term there. There shall be no rain, no spiritual rain, not entering into the presence of Yahweh, but like sitting along the wayside where everybody else gets to go up to the feast. And perhaps they'll just drop by for a moment and say hi, say shalom to you. But they continue on up to worship Yahweh the Father, while this person stays back at his old campsite drinking an old, dingy cup of coffee, sipping on that thing, and that's all he's got, just himself, just as all alone. No fellowship, no joy sublime, not leaning on the everlasting arms. No, we don't want to be in that crew there. "And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, that have no rain, there shall be the plague, wherewith Yahweh will smite the heathen that come," and that was Gentiles, Hebrew word 18, or rather 1471. "Yahweh will smite the Gentiles that come not up to keep the Feast of Sukkot. This shall be the punishment of Mitzrayim, and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. In that day shall there be upon the bells of the horses Kodesh unto Yahweh, and the pots in Yahweh's house shall be like the bowls before Yahweh. We are looking at that word Shekinah splendor, just being in the magnificence, the presence of Yahweh, Shekinah, presence of Yahweh, in the throne room, face to face. Yes, as he will bless us, of course. It will be such a blessing. Yes, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be separation or Kodesh unto Yahweh of hosts, and all they that offer shall come and take of them and see therein, and in that day there shall no more be a Canaanite in the house of Yahweh of hosts. That song by Walter Taylor says, far dearer than all the world can impart was the message that came to my heart, how that Messiah alone for my sin did atone. Calvary covers it all. The stripes that he bore and the thorns that he wore told his mercy and love evermore. And my heart bowed in shame as I called on his name, and Calvary covers it all. How blessed the thoughts that my soul by him bought shall be in his splendor on high, where with gladness and song I'll be one of the throng, and Calvary covers it all. My past with its sin and stain, my guilt and despair, Messiah took on him there, Calvary covers it all. Part of that song there, written 100 years ago, is still applicable as it was 2,000 years ago, as it was even to the prophets of old. Those all from the book of Genesis, all the way through the scriptures, they were all Sabbath keepers. Well, at least the true believers were. They all kept the Sabbath day. They didn't speak against the law. And a quick note here. One of the earlier broadcasts 5 years ago, or podcasts, I was reading from Bill Schultz's book, Freedom Under the Law, and I wanted to repeat that on page 82 about Yahweh's law. The reason there's so much suffering in this world is a denial of Yahweh's principles. Yahweh is real, and he governs by the law that he gave to Moses and to the children of Israel, those who are grafted in, the strangers, all included, that want to observe and to even celebrate and go up and keep these feast days, go up from Sabbath to Sabbath. So when we break the law, we receive punishment. It's just an automatic thing. It's not an intentional angry father up there who's gotten so old and jaundiced and has some kind of an old people's disease. It is just and simple. Even believers must bear the consequences of our rebellion to Yahweh. And we all fall from time to time. That is why we need Yahweh's righteousness. Not a pseudo-righteousness, but a spirit-wrought righteousness, where we work out our salvation with fear and trembling, where Yahweh writes his love in our heart. That personal relationship that we believers, we claim to have the heart of Yahweh because of the spirit of Yahweh in us. But then some of us go out from time to time and listen to that carnal music, even if it's called Christian, but we live like the heathen. Why should we live like the Gentiles? What kind of witness is that, even to ourselves? Yahweh's law is eternal, immutable, and alive. How can we claim that Messiah did away with the law of Yahweh? Or how can that preacher, anyway? This person the other day said that the law about dietary laws in Leviticus 11 was done away with refrigeration. Well, we could take any law and say, well, that was done away with too, because along came a invention of technology that we no longer had to observe this law or that law or something about sexual relationships. The conditions do not interpret for us or tell us what we can and cannot do. No, we observe the law because Yahweh is the eternal one. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And to speak against his law is to rebel, just as these people who could not enter in to that wedding feast. And some didn't even have on the garment of righteousness. They didn't care about what kind of attire, what they looked like when they entered before a pure and just and almighty and sovereign one. The scripture says in Isaiah 8, to the law and the testimony, if they speak not according to that word, they have no light of dawn. They have no light in them, it says in King James. not light of dawn, but no light in them. That is how we need to demonstrate that we have the Spirit of Yahweh living in our hearts. We need spiritual heart surgery by the Spirit of Yahweh to change our minds toward the law of Yahweh. And we need that heart in us so that we will want to obey Yahweh, want to please Him, want to tend to His honey-do list of a few things there. It's not that difficult. But we do get persecution, and a lot of us lose our jobs over keeping the Sabbath, of course. I've told you my testimony. I think how that it would seem like such a struggle, but I just trusted in faith, and it one thing worked out after another. And we're talking about the Almighty, the Father who created it all through His Son, the Spirit of Yahweh, the Ruach HaKadosh living in a person, is the solution to our problem. The Spirit of Yahweh, living by the Spirit, not by the letter alone. Living in a person-to-person relationship and as a corporate relationship, how the body of Messiah will be getting together in this pure convocation. He didn't come to set us free from His law. He came to allow us to live that wonderful freedom and to always, exhibit the fruits of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, as it says there in the Scripture, and to have the right attitude of heart and put away all fear, put away all bondage, and enter into the covenant of Yahweh and receive His atonement, a covering to repair our defect in us, and to let Him satisfy every debt by that justification and by the death on the tree at Calvary. He didn't come to destroy the law. In Matthew chapter 5, the Messiah, Yahushua, did not come to destroy the law, but to eliminate it. No, but to fulfill it, but to make it full. And praise Yahweh for that. Sometimes it's hard to understand that when we've been brought up a certain way in a different culture that in rebellion against Yahweh. But as we read the Scripture, read Psalm 19, and Psalm 119, we get a better understanding there that brings us closer to Savior, how we can love Him. And but anyway, He eliminates the debt by His mercy. And He doesn't ask for burnt offerings and sacrifices. He doesn't ask for even our own sacrifice as much as He does for our surrender to Him, to surrender to His authority and in love. Like, Papa, I'm ready to submit myself to you and to your way, and no more Stephen Yah's way. And He says, go and sin no more. Go and sin no more, not go sin some more. And so we can read the Scriptures from cover to cover and get the harmony in context. We get the harmony from cover to cover, not by reading a particular passage and exegesing just a certain portion of Scripture and saying, well, that was addressed just to the Colossians and not to us, or to the Hebrews and not to us. No. We are to live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of Yahweh. Matthew chapter 4:4 and Deuteronomy 8 says we will live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of Yahweh. Yes. He is our husband, and He's coming quickly. Could be very soon. So I'll close with this now, I believe, in Matthew chapter 4. We want to give our website there is yahweh.name. And on there you can email me if you like. I sure appreciate the encouragement. We'd rather hear a little bit more of this and less of that. I'll consider that. If you have some suggestions, or Stephen Yah, I'm having a hard time trying to understand something or trying to decode something on my computer on your program, and could you please use this format or that format? I want text only. I don't want PDF. I don't want, a certain Microsoft Word or something. I'd rather just have in text. Then I can restructure some of these things if you think that would help, okay? Or maybe it'd help somebody else. Somebody in a foreign country may not have all this newer technology. Newer? Okay, Malachi 4. Oh, praise Yahweh. Thank you, Father, for the wonderful day today, for your Sabbath days. And I know that you're going to come quickly, send thy son quickly to take us to be forever in thy presence. Behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith Yahweh of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. This is not hate speech. This is the scripture. This is inspired by Yahweh to the prophet Malachi. Verse 2, for the believer, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. That's symbolically there. And you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith Yahweh of armies. Remember the law of Moses, my servant. Now the next page is going to be Matthew 1. And people make a distinction here and say, well, that was in another dispensation. We're not going to drag all those Old Testament laws. He says, remember you, the law of Moses, or the law of Yahweh, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb, for all Israel, the statutes and judgments. And that includes the feast days. Hebrew 49:41. He uses here for the word law. Behold, I will send you Eliah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of Yahweh. And he shall turn, the prophet shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Shalom.